From Jefferson Public Radio, I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another JPR Live session from afar. My guests today were last here all the way back in 2012. They have just released a brand new album on Six Shooter Records called Keeper. It's the band Elliot Brood. Mark Sasso, Casey Laferrette, Stephen Pitkin. Hello, gentlemen. Welcome back. It's good to see your faces and chat with you.
Hey, Eric.
How's it going? Thanks for having us.
Casey, I believe you're in Los Angeles, and Mark and Stephen, you are in Hamilton, Ontario. Do I have that all correct?
That's right.
That's right, yep.
But the band initially formed in a place called Windsor, which one of my friends described as basically Detroit, but with Tim Hortons. It's right across the river from Detroit, so basically like a Detroit suburb.
Correct. We are South Detroit. That's our it's fame. In a journey
claim
song.
To fame. Steve always gets dragged into this. He's not a Windsor guy. He's from a different place. But Mark and I are both from.
I'm from the home of Glass Tiger. It's called New
our
Market.
Motor City is Windsor, and they're in Hamilton, which is Canada's Pittsburgh. So
are parts of automobiles actually built in Windsor?
The minivan was built there for many years, like the original Chrysler crappy minivan that we actually toured in for a couple seasons, at least until it. Ended.
Broke down on the side of the road.
Yeah, it was
times.
The caravan plant was there. Forever. I don't know what they do now. Is it? I'm not sure what's getting built there, but
I think they're making Jeeps.
Well, you might have toured in that Chrysler minivan for a couple of years, but you guys have now been touring for almost 20 years as a band. Congratulations on the upcoming milestone.
Oh, thank you.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's kind of unreal, really. Once you be like 20 years, because you're like one when we first started out as a duo. And Steve recorded the EP, you're like, oh, well, maybe we'll sell like 100 copies to our friends and family and that'll be it. And then the band will kind of fizzle out. But you'll just do it for the enjoyment because it's in you to do. And next thing we know, we're like on tour and we haven't stopped touring since then.
It's interesting that the sound of Elliot Brood is what it is, considering where you are from and where the band formed, because Motown is such a huge influence, and you know, I mean, we are all kind of generally around the same age, and Motown and the influence of Motown into pop music was so prevalent, and yet you guys have got this gritty, rootsy country thing going on. Where did that come from?
I think the two main factors, one would be the band and Neil Young. You know what I mean? To know that those, like, the band is from, for the most part, Ontario, you know, just London, Ontario. Actually, Garth Hudson was born in Windsor. You know what I mean? Those guys are from there. To know that those guys came from our neck of the woods kind of is inspiring for us, or was back in the day for me anyways, you know?
And I read that there was also some inspiration from an affinity for Western film.
Imagery, I think, and storytelling, sure, I think, Mark. Like, Mark always described some of our early music as like Clint Eastwood sort of thematic stuff, which I think makes sense, that sort of like open plains, darkness, that kind of thing. Like if you see the video for Cadillac Dust, it has a lot of that sort of look to it, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, even growing up, though, it's like, you know, there's spaghetti westerns and all of that stuff. It's like, if you grew up in Detroit, those were the films that were actually on Channel 20 and Channel 50, which weren't your regular NBC, ABC affiliates. It was just like, they had to fill a lot of space and time with some crappy films that they could buy, you know what I mean? And so that's what you would watch.
Channel 50 and Channel 20, which I think, are they UHF channels? Is that right? Whatever they were, but they were these sort of like smaller broadcasters that we had like in October, Shocktober, with this like weird drunk guy called Count Scary who would be on and introduce these like horror films. And you could like, in retrospect, I didn't know he was drunk when I was a kid, but that guy was, something was wrong with that guy. He had like half his face painted.
But it's just like, but those things factor in, you know what I mean? Like those films factor into how you kind of, how you listen to music, what you're listening to. And you know, when Casey and myself first got together, Casey gave me a CD, and it was a Richard Buckner CD. For me, it was like, okay, we're very akin thinking-wise. Even though we went to high school together, we didn't really hang out in high school together until it was like later after we had moved to Toronto that we kind of started coming together and playing music. And I think those are the bonds that kind of formed this band, really.
There were a couple of pretty nice accolades that have happened since your last appearance here. In 2008, you guys ended up on the shortlist for the Polaris Prize, which is incredible. Congratulations for that acknowledgement. And then in 2011, picked up a Juno Award for Roots Traditional Album of the Year for Days Into Years. There was an interesting quote that I stumbled across in reading a bunch of different interviews that you guys have done over the years when a writer wrote, The band is peculiarly balanced between the mainstream and obscurity.
That's a great quote. I think we're sort of balanced a little further towards obscurity, but yeah, I like that.
That's why we've never made it.
Yeah. I mean, it is weird because we do have this incredible sort of really tight fan base that is growing, to be honest, and it's nice, but it's, yeah, I don't think we've ever been on that larger radar, to be honest. We've been in the sort of, I look at us as like the small town of bands. That's how I consider us, is like we're that like small town that like, if you know it, you know it. And if you don't, you know the bigger versions of what we do, I guess, or something. But
right. And luckily enough, right. enough people like it enough to visit that town constantly or follow us. And, you know, we're kind of lucky that way. Whoever our fans are, they're really tried, tested, and true. And they, like, they're with us. Once they're with us, they're with us.
And yeah, we are now at the point where, like, 18, 20-year-olds will come up to us, and they know us from their parents, like, raising them. You know, they were, like, kids, like, 8, 9 years old when they heard it, and now they're at shows, and it's really weird. I mean, that's kind of depressing, but it's also exciting. You know? it's cool. Like, it's, we've been around, and the people who know, it's, I think people do treat us as like, have you ever heard of this? Like, you know, because it's not everyone really, we just never, we're still working on that. That's why we keep traveling around and going from town to town to keep playing to people. So, but we've been lucky. Yeah. We have a little career that sustains us, and it's, I mean, hopefully it comes back when all this ends, you know, that'd be nice.
Yeah. For sure. Elliot Brood, my guests on JPR Live Sessions today. Their new record is called Keeper. Elliot Brood, E-L-L-I-O-T-T, brood.com is the web address. Mark Casey and Steven are with me. So for our performances today, you guys were actually able to record some full band stuff to share with us, which I'm excited about. So not really pared down at all. Tell me about the first tune we're going to hear and tell me who's playing what.
The first song is Bird Dog. On the album, I'm actually playing banjo, Casey's playing guitar, and Steve on drums. But for this performance, I'm actually back on electric guitar just to kind of fill it out a bit more. And it's actually, it's our very first Chase song that we ever recorded as a band. Even though we've been playing banjo forever, it's the first Chase song. And it doesn't end well for anybody. It's a, you know, a corrupt cop chasing a kid that's been blamed for something he actually didn't really do. And it doesn't end well. So.
All right, let's hear it. This is Bird Dog. It's Elliot Brood on JPR Live Sessions.
Thank you.
That is Bird Dog. It's the tune that leads off the new album called Keeper from the band Elliot Brood. They're my guests today on JPR Live Sessions. Mark, Casey, and Steven with me from all over the place, Los Angeles and Ontario. There is, for those of you who are not intimately familiar with Elliot Brood, there is no Elliot Brood. Elliot Brood is essentially a mythological character for whom the band writes songs for.
Yep.
That's actually pretty apt.
That's the best way to describe it, I think. I've always looked at it as like that old guy in the bar who's in the corner just watching everyone and taking it all in. That's if I were to pick a character. We had this awesome photo at one point of this really old guy with a long beard walking. I don't know if you remember it, Mark, but
I picture him
is this sort of like story sucking or like absorbing person who like tells the story at the end, but is always watching stuff. So that's a good way to look at it, I think.
Having that character on hand has got to give you tremendous freedom to create the stories for that character, because none of them have to be true.
Correct. It's 100%. You're totally right.
Right.
It's like we get to actually take our own emotions and put them into characters, where most people who are writing like singer-songwriter stuff, they have to write from their own perspective, right? And it's like that people can understand the emotions that they're going through, and we kind of get to play with all of that. We get to play with time, history, characters, and I think that's a huge freedom for us as songwriters.
Yeah. Mark, on the tune, on Bird Dog, you mentioned how you switched from banjo on the album to electric guitar for the performance today. You guys do a ton of switching, but you also do a bunch of doubling up of instruments, like playing multiple things at the same time. How did that all get started? Was it just because you were wishing for a bigger band?
It is financially safer to do that. Yeah, for sure. The first extra thing was probably the bass pedals that I play, where it's like, you know, just I found them by accident and it filled out the bottom. I was already sitting down by chance because I'm just a lazy person. And so I was down there. And so once that added in, and then Steve started doing keys while playing drums just to add the extra textures. And yeah, Mark's usually got a harmonica strapped to his head and switching between ukuleles, mandolins, banjos, and guitars between every song. That's why we have to talk a lot on stage. There's a lot of changeover and we have no tech. So, you know, not at least for switching stuff yet.
It wasn't until like 5 years into the band that we actually discovered, or Steve divulged to us, that actually he played piano and was trained. It was just like, and so we're like, instantly we're like, okay, great, this works perfectly, because now we can dumb down the drum parts, which a drummer never wants to dumb down anything. But it's just like, okay, now you have to play piano with your left hand while drumming with your right and singing.
Yeah.
So
it's complicated in that way. But
correct.
The parts are fairly simple to each other.
Yes.
So there you go.
Wow. Well, I don't know if you guys have made this connection directly, but two of the songs on this new record called Keeper have a direct connection to Ashland, Oregon, where I am sitting. They were mixed by Sylvia Massey, whose studio is about a quarter mile down the road.
That's what Steve said, like right off the top when we were talking earlier.
Yes, shout out to Sylvia Massey, local hero, right?
Yeah, how did you guys make that
world
connection?
World hero.
We actually, Steve brought in...
The book.
Recordings
so Unhinged.
We started reading that while we were recording this record, and then maybe, Steve, I think you watched... We clicked on some YouTube videos.
I saw her in New York at the AES convention. I'd gone to that, and she was a speaker there, so I also had seen some of her work there. She brought a song out and talked about how she'd mixed it, and we thought we were looking for people to mix the record, so she was definitely in the top, you know, in our top list of people to contact, and luckily, she had the time to mix a couple songs.
Right on. Yeah, it's really cool.
And produced the end of one.
Yeah, she created the end
added
of...
Some, she did a whole string section
full of
for
wires.
Us.
Oh, wow. That's right.
Full of wires, which is like, when she, it was weird because she sent it back to us and we're all like, what? Like, we didn't know. We just said, do, you know, kind of like, no, I don't know if we gave her instruction at all, really.
Well, the only instructions we said was we wanted somebody to kind of attack it from a different perspective. Go and create and, you know, let us see what you come back with. We're open to, you know, creation, obviously, for with music. And she created the back end, like this little piece that Steve did where he's kind of playing
piano
after a take. And it was a gorgeous moment. I remember listening to it and be like, keep playing, like in my head. I was hoping Steve would keep playing. And so she turned that into this beautiful addendum to the song.
Well, she got a string player. Yeah. She actually arranged a string part to go with it. So the end of side one is is me on piano with her and her, I guess her friend, his name was Morgan O'Shaughnessy.
Yeah,
on strings. Mm. Yeah, so it's a great, it's a wonderful moment. It's a very, it's a departure for us, for one, because, you know, the piano and strings in a, you know, band that doesn't usually feature that, but
right,
it worked out great. Yeah, we're really happy with it.
In reading reviews, and obviously we've been playing the record here at the station and listening to a bunch of different songs from it, a lot has been made out of the lyrical content exploring strength of conviction, testing yourself over time. Are those tests that you guys experienced, or are those Elliot's tests?
This is the one time where I think this record is more personal, where we actually took our, for me anyways, I'm just speaking for myself, took my own emotions that I was kind of going through. I quit drinking like 3 years ago. It wasn't, you know, I definitely wasn't, you know, the best version of myself, and kind of, you know, wanted to kind of better myself and change the way I was acting and things I was doing. And I think that factored into a lot of the things that I wrote about. So I, even though they're characters, they encompass a lot of my personal emotions, you know, going through those things, you know, so.
I think we're getting more, the songwriting is becoming more personal in a way over the last couple records. Like, I increased drinking 3 years ago, so in the other direction, it's like, it's also like, you know, it's, I went the other direction, but they are, the songs are becoming a little bit more, I mean, we have more experience. There's more crazy life stuff that happens to you. As a 20-year-old, I didn't have anything to say anyways, like really of any importance other than what every other 20-year-old says, except for the really smart ones. But now you have this whole life of like, ups and downs and lefts and rights and touring alone. I mean, that's a, right there, you know, traveling. And especially now in the climate of the world, in this country, in our country, everywhere else, it's a pretty like interesting time to be able to know all these different areas. Like, this country is amazing to me in the touring realm of like the different spots you can go within the United States and the different culture. It's just so different, right? It's a bunch of countries in one giant thing. So I think we've learned a lot from traveling around and just seeing a lot of stuff. So that's creeping in a little bit more to the stories, probably.
I'd love to hear another tune. Elliot Brood, my guests today on JPR Live Sessions. This record is called Keeper. ElliotBrood.com is their website. Mark Casey and Steven are with me today. All right, what's next?
We're going to do one of our sort of like quieter songs on the record called A Month of Sundays.
Yeah, Month of Sundays. We wrote it actually when we were out in, why am I blanking on? Caslo, BC. Mm. We kind of rented a cabin for a couple of days and recorded this song. And it's kind of like you're going through the emotions of all the things that happen with families, right? The, you know, the inner dynamics and all of that stuff. And that's kind of where this song comes from. But the title is actually taken from a John Prine lyric. And it's kind of an homage to him for that. And yeah, it's all about family.
Yeah, it's like, and this one's interesting. It's the two characters, Mark's voice and my voice. We sort of like are talking to each other or at each other in different verses, and then sort of comes together. So it says, yeah, I think we look at it as they're two brothers who have sort of like, you know, knocked heads most of their lives, and they're trying to come to terms with each other or something like that.
Right on. Let's hear it. This is A Month of Sundays. It's Elliot Brood on JPR.
Thank you.
Called A Month of Sundays. Elliot Brood, my guests on JPR Live Sessions today. Keeper is the name of their new record out on Six Shooter. ElliotBrood.com is the web address. Let's talk about our current situation. The last, you know, 8-9 months or so. Casey, I don't know if that has contributed to the accelerated pace of drinking for you, but...
Yeah, it's not helping. Yeah.
And Casey, you're in Los Angeles. Mark, Stephen in Canada. That's probably made things even a little bit trickier for you as an actual ensemble. What's the situation been like for Canadian artists? Is it any better than what we're seeing here in the States?
No.
All these small clubs are actually like dropping like flies, and I think that's, you know, it's pretty dire. I think everywhere, you know what I mean? Like, because everybody's hemmed in, you can't, we don't, there's no capacities. People really can't do anything.
Yeah. I mean, and these are friends we've now had for 15, 20 years, you know, promoters, small people who literally spend their extra money on just bringing bands to venues, you know, not, there's so many of them that we've known over the years that it's their entire life. They'll spend their heart, you know, they work during the day and do something, but they promote music because they're the only people who would bring in, like when we were first touring, it's the only way you get anywhere, right? And they're all over the place. It's been hard to watch. And friends who own bars and own clubs are all suffering. You know, it's tough, but I just wish everyone would do what they had to do so we can get, you know what I mean? It's that frustration of seeing people who are like ignoring the little things you can actually do to make all of this come back faster, but.
So the time off now, I mean, we're 8-9 months into this. I don't know if you guys remember what your last public show was.
It was with Blue Rodeo, right?
Blue Rodeo in Hamilton here. Yeah, we actually played.
Yeah, it was a big show.
Like, was that in back in March or?
Actually, my kids got to come out on stage, got invited to sing with Blue Rodeo.
Yeah, about 2,000 people. It's like, nice. It was a nice way to go out. Whatever. Yeah,
yeah, nice way to go out. What do you? What do you miss most or least about that, about doing that, touring, playing shows? Like, what's the one thing that you're like, man, it's been nice to have this 8-9 month break?
The one thing I would say is for myself is, even though I hated it at the time, like driving, doing the long drives, I would love to be able to do one of those long drives, be able to play. Like, I think you realize that you took a lot of it for granted. That's kind of my takeaway from it, is like, just all those basic things that I would be like, oh, I hate that about our job, I actually love and miss about it right now.
Yeah, I miss loading gear, to be honest. I have this system with like our tech Noah, who would be out with us, where we would like relax, go outside for a smoke, and then just like chill out and load in the back. And it was great. It was like, and we all would, it's not just us, but I'm saying like there was like this, the job, it was like, I was used to it. I knew what I was doing. Now I have no idea. I'm literally considering getting a trucking license. Like I could drive all day. I could do it all. Like, I'll be a trucker now.
Well, I'm glad you guys are holding up. It's great to see your faces in chat, and I'm really appreciative that you had time to do this with us today. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Eric.
Thank you,
Eric.
It's Elliot Brood. Their brand new record they've just released is called Keeper. Came out on Six Shooter Records. ElliotBrood.com is the web address. Mark Sasso is a guitarist, vocalist, and other things. Casey Laferrette guitar, bass, and vocals. Stephen Pitkin, drums and vocals, and oh, by the way, also plays a mean piano. They're joining me from Los Angeles and Ontario. You have one more tune to share with us?
Yeah, we're going to do, I guess, if we can, our lead single off this effort. It's called Stay Out. I've had to develop a way to figure out how to talk about the song, but it just has to do a lot with changes. We all have kids, but I'm the most recent addition to that. And I just had a rough time adjusting to becoming a dad it's two totally separate lives, going from a touring musician to the anxiety of becoming a dad and that life changing and wanting to like bridge the two things. Like when late nights become impossible because of the early mornings, in that sense, and we really wanted to nail that new dad demographic. That's the demographic in music that we feel like is really like needs some music. So yeah, it's about a rough time. You know, I love my children obviously, but I can honestly say I had a rough time adjusting to becoming like what a dad is, and it was hard for me to like embrace it all and not be anxious and worried about it and feeling like I'm missing like the old life of like no limits, I can do whatever I want kind of thing. But I'm good with it now. So it's going to be hard to sing it live, but it is what it is. It's a big stomper. This is a big Elliott Brood sort of like, this is what we do. The big stomp, I think. So yeah.
Right on.
Cheers.
This is Stay Out.
I do believe that I've had enough, but I don't wanna go home. I'm out of time and I'm out of luck, and I don't wanna go home, and I can't go home. This is gone in the blink of the night. I can't go home. Oh, be left wondering why. It's the end of your road. It's the end of the line, and it's time that I let it go. And the seasons change, everything gets rearranged. But tonight I'm stuck in yesterday's. Got healthy kids and a beautiful wife, but I don't wanna go home. I'm proud and thankful and terrified, and I don't wanna go home, and I can't go home. This is gone in the blink of an eye, and I can't go home. Oh, be left wondering why, and I can't go home. I wanna stay out a little while. It's the end of the road. It's the end of the old road. It's the end of the line, and it's time that I let it go. And the seasons change, everything gets rearranged. But tonight I'm stuck in yesterday's. And this is gone in the blink of an eye, and I can't go home. Oh, be left wondering why I can't go home. This is gone in the blink of an eye, and I can't go home. Oh, be left wondering why I can't go home. This is gone in the blink of an eye, and I can't go home. I wanna stay out a little while. No, I can't go home. Can I stay out a little while?
Stay Out, Elliott Brood, playing live for us today on JPR Live Sessions, perfectly hitting the stay-at-home dad alt-country vibe.
There you go.
Guys, thanks again for doing this. Be well, stay safe, and hope to see you in person sometime real soon.
Yeah,
thanks for having us.